Have your Bibles now. If you go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, just kind of a short review of last week. We talked about Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. They all see Christ, and Matthew sees Christ as king, and Mark sees Christ as servant, and Luke sees Christ as man, and John sees Christ as God. And since we're looking at a prayer this year, I thought I'd look at some of the prayers of Christ there in the book of Luke. And then last Thursday night, we started with the first record there of Christ praying in the book of Luke was Luke chapter 3 at his baptism. And then the lessons that we point out there was that Christ began his early ministry with prayer, showing his submission and dependence upon God. And that's how we ought to run our lives as well, in submission and dependence upon God. And then the second prayer that we looked at was in Luke chapter 5 last week. That it said, and he withdrew himself in the wilderness and prayed. And we see here that Christ took time to pray, and he had a secret place. And the lessons we said we could learn there is that we need a secret place to be alone with God, and that we need to see the value in praying before and after our spiritual battles. We pray after to praise him for the victories, and we pray before him to focus on him and not our trials. And then we saw in Luke chapter 6 that he went out to a mountain to pray the night before he was to call the disciples. And we saw there that we before we make decisions in life, we need to spend time in prayer, and then we need to stay in the book and then listen as God speaks to us. And then number 4 last week, we look at in Luke chapter 9, verse 18, where Christ went out and prayed. It says that Christ prayed alone, but his disciples was with him. We saw the importance there of spending the time with the Savior. We see that the disciples walked and talked with Christ, and so can we. And then we saw that he would be only as real in our daily life as he is our devotional life. And then we saw the fifth prayer was at the Mount of Transfiguration there in Luke chapter 9. And then the lessons that we learned there, we see a shining face comes from contact with God, how the countenance was changed, and how our goal is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then we saw the sixth prayer we see in Luke 10 when he sent out the 70. And the lesson that we learned there was, despite the storms of life, to be thankful how God is working and praise him. And then we also not get so used to prayer that we forget who we're praying to, and continue to show respect to the Lord. And then tonight, look, if you would, at Luke chapter 11. We're going to look at number 7 tonight, the seventh prayer, Luke chapter 11, and in verse 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. Let's go ahead and start with the word of prayer. Lord God, we do love you tonight. And Father, Lord, I pray you'd bless our time together tonight. Lord, I pray you'd bless your word, Lord. Just these are simple lessons. They're an overview of the prayers of Christ here in Luke. And then, Lord, I pray you'd help us to take them and use these as a springboard to be able to study more and to apply more truths to our life. Lord, I pray you'd bless your word tonight. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Look at Luke chapter 11 and verse 1. We see here that it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then there's a couple of things there. Letter A, we see that the Lord Jesus was praying in a certain place. He was praying in a certain place, and we're not told which place it was, but if you look back at John 18:2, we see here that he seemed to have a place where he went to pray often. A book of John chapter 18 and verse 2. John chapter 18 and verse 2 says, in Judas also, when he betrayed him, knew the place where Jesus oftentimes resorted thither with his disciples. So we see that he seemed to have a certain place where he could pray. Then we see from this section also that John had taught his disciples to pray, and that's the only record that we have in Scripture of John teaching his disciples to pray. And then we see here that the disciples had observed his prayer life and had been taught by him before how to pray. My thought here was this. You know, they had been taught how to pray, but yet as they watched him pray, they had more of a desire to learn to pray. You know, in our lives, I it's easy for us to get so used to prayer. We have the mechanics of prayer, but if we just stop and we begin to pray, we'll get more of a desire to pray. So we see the importance of prayer, and then number two, we saw it's good to have a place of prayer. So let's go on to Romans number 8 now. We're going to get these done, and then we're going to go back. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Luke 22, verse 21, you see here that Simon's name is it's called twice. I think there's only 10 times in scriptures where Christ, when he talks to somebody and he used their name, he called their name twice. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thou faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. We see that Christ referred, he called him twice by name, trying to get his attention. You know, he always stands out in scriptures. And then also, it refers to his old name. And then we see here, there's a second thing under Roman number 8, that it's a great comfort to know that Christ knows before we be under attack, and he warns us. Then skip on down to letter D. The lesson is to learn that let's not forget that we still have the old nature. And even when we are aware of dangers that lie ahead, he foresees the need and makes provision for us in advance for our defense through his word. Sometimes I think those of us that's been raised in church a long time, we get so used to prayer and so used to church that we seem to forget we have an old nature. And you hear the Lord call Simon twice to get his attention. He referred to him as his old name. Another thing here that we shouldn't forget that we still have the old nature. The old saying that the best are men are still men at best, but that's true in all of our lives. And to know that Christ knows ahead of time what we are going through, and he makes provision. I don't think I used the illustration last week, not about the time that my wife and I was going on with vacation in the Chevette. I was reading in my Bible study there and probably the safeties of the Lord. And when we start, and I get real burdened about that, and we begin to pray and pray for safety. And on the way down, we prayed quite often for safety. And then we got down to my in-law's house there in Georgia, and we went inside and came back out, and the back seat of the car was on fire. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord used his word to speak to my heart to warn me of the danger. And I think in my Sunday school class, we've been teaching on 1 John. The people there, it was third generation Christians, and they had got used to church. They got used to how things are, and each generation we had let something slip. I think in America we are blessed of God, and unfortunately, many of us think we can live without prayer. I wonder if we didn't have our credit cards and the bills was due, what would we do more? If we didn't have our credit cards and we was out of groceries, would we pray more? If we didn't have all that we have and hard times come, would we stop and pray? In our lives, Jesus Christ went through life. He was a man of prayer. We'll see tonight that he prayed from there at his baptism, from how he started his ministry, till his last breath on the cross was a prayer. In our lives, folks, let me not get so used to going along with that prayer that the Lord has to say, Rick, you're about to fall. You're about to mess up. Because I think that we get so used to ourselves that we think that we can take care of it. And then on down to the next prayers in Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39 through 46. Luke 22, 39. And he came out and went as he went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. Then, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from the prayer, and when was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping. He found them sleeping for sorrow. He said to them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. So, okay, letter A here, it's all written out, so you can take it home. It says, Luke tells here the disciples were sleeping for sorrow. We see they were overwhelmed. I looked up sorrow, that means sorrow, pain, grief, affliction, annoyance. In life, we know what Christ was facing the next couple of days. And instead of staying awake and being in prayer, they fell asleep. Christ was going to face much more than they were about to face, but they were so overwhelmed, they began to sleep. And I put there on the notes that Christ was facing the end of his earthly ministry, and seeing the battle at hand, he went to prayer and won the battle. How many times do we get overwhelmed with life, and we just get tired, and we're annoyed, disturbed, depressed, whatever you want to say, and instead of going to prayer, we seemingly just kind of sit down and we lull to kind of asleep. We're waiting to see what's going to happen. And we sit there and we wait and we don't pray. Then when times come, we fall. And then we wonder why we couldn't stand the trial, because God has promised there's always a way out. Well, that way out sometimes is prayer. With our last night, I think we all need to understand this. It says there in our notes. Let me find my place. Yeah, it's been said that battles are won in prayer and spoils are taken in service. The importance of praying before great battles ahead. Then on to Roman number 10. Luke 23:34. See, these are overviews. Luke 23:34. Let's start reading in verse 32. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, on the other. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This year is one of the first of the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. His first saying was a prayer, and his last saying was a prayer as well. And we see here that there's no desire for revenge or resentment. It's just love. That's to hear that he said, then he said, Jesus, Father, may we see him as our Father. May we really understand tonight that that God is our Father, and we can pray to our Father. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, there's no condemnation to us. In our lives, I think sometimes that we forget our Heavenly Father. He loves us, and he cares. And he wants to help. He wants to protect. He is our Father. Secondly, it says, I believe that we should learn that May we be able to pray for those who have hurt us with no desire for revenge or resentment. All Christ had gone through, all he's about to go through, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I believe that many times that because we're angry at folks and we won't forgive them, that we can't pray for them as we ought to pray. So it's important we see him as Father. It's important that we're able to pray for others as well as Christ did. And then number 11, look at you, Luke 23:46. Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. You hear I record there under number A, Luke records that the Lord Jesus cried utter loud voice before he commended his spirit to the Father. He concluded his words from the cross just as begun by speaking to his Father. The Lord's last words were from over in Psalm 31:5, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, O God of truth, in which David expressed his unshaken trust in God. Then we're looking down to letter C, lesson to learn. There is never a time to cease from our prayer life. Is the book of over these 11 times that we know of that Christ prayed in the book of Luke, we saw that the first time he prayed was there at his baptism. And then we saw here the last time that he prayed was to the Father, to thy hands I commend my spirit. He saw who the Father was. There on the cross, and also one time he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was crying out to God. At that time, he was suffering for our sins. He was crying out to God, but the rest of the time he prayed to the Father. I think sometimes that we don't trust God. I think sometimes we have earthly fathers that have been mean to us, maybe abused us, and been just bad examples of fathers, and we have forgot what a real father is. God is a heavenly Father. He wants only his best for his children, and Christ left all these prayers, I think, for our examples to know that God loves us and God cares. And the importance of prayer in our life. My question is this: how much time do we spend in prayer? Do we have an attitude of prayer where if the Holy Spirit of God brings someone to our hearts, we can just pray right then? I think if Christ was he was always in that, he prayed, he's always in the attitude of prayer. In our lives, is our lives an example of an attitude to prayer? He became sin for us who knew no sin. Christ had not sinned, but yet he suffered the penalty of sin. In our lives, I think sometimes we're so earthly focused, and we're so focused on things we have, we forget what a blessing those things are. If we really saw our need as it is, if we didn't have, I heard one old preacher say one time, the churches behind the Iron Curtain said, before the Iron Curtain fell, and it's more punishment, that there's more the power of God, because people knew they had to have God. But then as this country, as they opened up some, they quit depending as much on God and on themselves, and they lost their prayer life and their power. I know over in Hungary, Gilitskin Nini, I love to hear her talk about the persecution that they suffered. But she was so sweet. She always went to God. She knew she had to have the Lord to survive. In our country today, we have lost. I think it's almost not, I'm thankful for the blessings of God, but let's not take our blessings for God so much that he has to take those away from us for us to depend upon him again. We're blessed to have a nice church and pews and sound system, and there's no fear of the army coming through the back doors, and arresting us for our faith. There's no having to pray, Lord, keep us safe tonight. Lord, we need your help tonight. Lord, keep us safe here tonight. There's still a danger, but is it real in our life? Do I really know I can't live without the Lord? Do I really know that tomorrow I can take, that I have to have the Lord? Or am I dependent upon so many other things? I've quit dependent upon God. There, at the bottom of the paper, there's some verses where we are exhorted to pray. Let's go ahead and look, if you look back there, we're going to look at those verses up. It's a conclusion. If the Lord needed to pray, then surely we need to pray. And then look at Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. And let's set our minds tonight. Let's see how these line up against us. Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, patient tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Continuing instant in prayer. Are we always ready to pray? Then look at Ephesians 6:18. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication of the saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. Then look at Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And on to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And then the last one, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Tonight, do I really know that I need God? In my life tonight, do I really know I need God? Do I really know that I can take that prayer list tonight and pray over it and make a difference in the lives of folks? Do I understand that I, Rick Salee, I need to learn to pray? I need to get past the mechanics of prayer, and I need to stop and to pray and ask God for his help in every area of my life. I need to ask him, Lord, teach me to pray. Or am I so conditioned that I come in with a prayer, and I prepare almost the same prayer with every time I pray, and I say it from memory. The other night, I'm going to tell myself, there's a Bible at a Hope. I thought it was a King. I left my Bible in the car. And so someone had given the Bible, it's supposed to be a King James Bible. So I said, well, I'll take that one. And so I was not preaching from another version Bible, but I opened up and I read the verse, and I was quoting the verse, and I was looking at what I was saying, and I thought, that don't line up. So I stopped, I checked my wife's Bible, and the Bible I had was the wrong one. I was looking at the words, but I was praying, but I was speaking from, I was quoting the verse from memory, and they didn't line up. Sometimes the words we speak, don't line up with our attitude in prayer. We say, we're saying the right words, but are they from our heart? We're saying the right things, but are they from the heart? Christ always kept an attitude of prayer. He always prayed reverently and respectfully to his heavenly Father. He always prayed. And there's no record, I mean, in Luke, I can't find a record of him praying with others. He prayed, when he prayed, it said he went alone and prayed, and the disciples were with him, but he was alone when he prayed. He prayed about them and for them, but there's no record I can find of him praying with others. It's almost like that was his special time, him alone with the Father, and he just spent time with the Father in that time. Do we have a time in our lives where we just spend alone with the Father and say, God, I need your help tonight. Lord, I need you tonight. There are times in persecution, hard times in our not persecution, but hard times in our lives. I don't know, a couple years ago, when my wife had cancer, that, some serious praying happened then. When my heart messed up, some serious, when I was there in the cath lab and things went crazy, I was doing some serious praying. I was serious. Lord, I need you right now. But in the morning when I wake up and pray, ask God to bless today. But I really know that I needed him much, as much tomorrow morning as that day there in the cath lab, as much as when the doctor said, she's got cancer, it's bad, it's gnarly, it's not good. Well, I know then I need him. Tonight, the whole thing, this point is this, if Jesus Christ, the God-man here on earth, took time apart to pray to his Heavenly Father, more prayers recorded of Christ in Luke than any other gospel. The majority of his prayers are out in the book of Luke. I think there's 10 or 11 in Luke. It's not in the other Gospels. If Jesus Christ himself took time to pray, how much more do I, a sinful, no good, wretched Rick Salee, how much more do I need to stop and say, God, I need your help today. Lord, would you speak to my heart? Lord, would you show me something from your word today? Lord, would you bless people that's hurting today? Lord, bless so-and-so and bless, Lord, help so-and-so. If I really realize how much I need him, would it change my prayer life? Let's don't wait till all chaos goes crazy before I stop and hit my face at the altar. Say, God, we need your help in our church. God, so-and-so is lost, Lord, and they're going to hell. Lord, would you please convict them? Would you please save them? Lord, I want to pray for so-and-so tonight and be able to pray it knowing that prayer makes a difference. In our lives, let's take the lesson from Christ and let's pray. Let's look at his prayer and then let's look at the disciples that they heard him pray this. Lord, teach us to pray. They had been with him for several years already, that he taught them how to pray, but yet when Christ prayed this, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. Let's ask God to help us learn to pray, and then let's just pray. Just stop and pray. We'll never learn to pray if we don't pray. We'll never learn to ride a bike if we don't ride a bike. We'll never learn to pray if we don't pray. Let's pray and say, God, break our hearts. Lord God, help me realize that I do need you every day. I think we depend more upon ourselves than we do God. We think we can fix this, we can fix that. But if Jesus Christ, as man here on earth, took time to pray, how much more do I need to pray? And I simply ask you, examine your heart. Do you really live by prayer or by ourselves? Do we have more faith in Visa and MasterCard and depend upon them more than we do the Lord? Do we take time to stop and pray for our needs, spiritual and physical? Do we take time to pray? Be instant in prayer. The Lord speaks to me and says, Lord speak to hearts and say, we need to pray for so and so. In the middle of the night, you wake up, you start praying. Be instant in prayer. Go down the road and somebody comes to mind, just we're going to get, and keep your eyes open, but pray for that person. be instant in prayer. It might be a brother or sister going through hard times. I heard it once said that the Holy Spirit is a great general on the battlefield of prayer. He can call to our minds people that we need to pray for. If I really understood the necessity of prayer, I got to be more aware of my need to pray. Again, Christ prayed. How much more do I need to pray? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I